Alison, tell us a little bit about Ruby's Fund. How did it start?
So Ruby's Fund started when I had my daughter Ruby, and she had a diagnosis called IDIC 15. So for Ruby, that meant she'd got severe developmental delay, epilepsy, she's tube fed, she's non-verbal, and she needs 24 hours a day care. I, at that time, was a nurse, and my colleagues, who were health visitors, were unable to send me anywhere for some support. So I did something about it, and we did some fundraising, and we wanted to set up, at that point, a sensory room in Congleton. But as I went on further into the journey and met more people, we found that we needed a lot more than just a sensory room. So we started doing some research. We found that we needed things like somewhere to go for a cup of tea, somewhere we could have a play, somewhere we could have a party, somewhere we could meet other people who are in a similar situation, somewhere where you could get some advice, some signposting, somewhere where you could laugh, somewhere where you could cry, somewhere that where people just got where you were in your stage of life and you needed support. So that's where it all came from, because for me, when I had Ruby, obviously she wasn't the child that I was expecting to have. And so although, you know, I love her dearly, it's the fact that it's the shock, it's the grief, that the impact it has on your life, the fact that I had to give up my nursing career because I wasn't able to work. So there was a lot of emotional challenges that went along with it, and, you know, the impact it has on your family as well. So there was a big sort of knock-on effect to having a child with additional needs. So that's why I felt really motivated to do something, because I knew I wasn't the only person in that situation. So for us, it had a big financial impact as well. So there was a lot of implications, as giving up my career, the impact on my son at the time. So, you know, it was a lot of challenges that made us get to the point of needing to do something about it.
I suppose trying to find a building that would accommodate all that must have been one of the toughest things.
Yeah, so finding our centre was a 5-year journey. So we went and we walked into every empty building they had in the area. We had quite a strict criteria in the fact that we wanted to be just outside town centre. We wanted to be on a bus route. We wanted to be accessible from the train station, near taxis, people could walk to. And there was car parks nearby, because you knew we wouldn't get a building with its own big car park. So that we had that quite rigid criteria, and we had a few options that we looked at. And I looked at this building previously, and I discounted it until we were charity of the year at Sainsbury's in Biddle. And they called me up one day and said, "We've got some surplus furniture, would you like it?" And I just had a light bulb moment of how I thought this would work at Meridian House. So we had a conversation with the then landlords, and we had the lease on a 12-month peppercorn rent, just with the plan and the hope that we'd be able to get some grant funding to do the works that we needed here, because it was a warehouse when we took it on, to make it into, you know, the sensory centre that we had in our mind's eye. So there was a year of grant applications, getting trades in, doing quotes, doing plans, doing designs, getting change of use on the building. There was a lot of work up until, you know, getting to the point that, yeah, we've got some money in, we can actually look at taking the lease over on a 15-year lease, which we did at the time.
Ruby's is open to everybody, isn't it? I think that's one of the important factors.
Yeah, we have open to all sessions, and we have send sessions. So we do have that difference for a reason. So the open to all sessions is open to everybody. You never know at what point in life that a diagnosis or an emerging need is going to develop. So by the nature of the centre and what we do, people come here with their little babies. And being here now we're in our 9th year of being open, what we've found is that 3-4 years down the line, those mums come back with little people who have got an emerging need, and they know where to come. It's a familiar place. It's a big thing to talk about anyway, but so it's somewhere that's familiar with familiar faces. So the value of being open to the public in that is really good. It's really good from my point of view, having a child who's got an additional need. Ruby's 16 soon, and the issue I found was looking for funding. No, we'll only fund it if it's for a child with a disability. For me, I found that quite discriminatory, the fact that Ruby could therefore only have disabled friends. So it was not inclusive. It wasn't about, you know, the community and the people around her. And I know from having Ruby here over the years, the value that she brings to people, the conversations that she starts and the impact, even though she's, you know, she's non-verbal, she touches and reaches a lot of people. And I think having that acceptance that somebody who doesn't talk actually can tell you something in a different way, and the children are always really inquisitive and they want to know, and what's she doing and what's that tube, so we talk about it and it's just normal, and it just makes disability more relaxed and part of daily life, because everybody's got varying needs and abilities. So for me, it's really important.
And what's the future hold for Ruby's, do you think?
Like everybody, we've got the financial challenges. So grants and funding are, there's more competition for it. We've had some commissioning cut through the local authority through their financial challenges. Donations are obviously dropping because people having to tighten the belt. So it's just for us, we're looking at how we can work smarter with the money that we've got and still be able to provide the support offer that we can. But obviously, I'm mindful that we need to look after our staff as well, because the workload isn't dropping, like I said. It's still, you know, still really busy. We want to get the cafe up and thriving like it used to be. It's starting to get really busy again, which is just wonderful. And we've got some long-term plans where we've got planning permission to put 3 respite bedrooms upstairs. So the long-term plan would be to hopefully get some funding to do the adaptations of a lift to the first floor and the 3 bedrooms. And with that, we would then be able to offer weekend and school holiday overnight respite, which I know is massively needed. And a lot of children either can't get it or are having to go out of area to receive it. So I know it's something that's needed within this local authority.
And if anybody would like to contact you, maybe they want some information, maybe they're thinking of bringing their children, maybe they even have questions, because as you said, some things emerge with their child that they didn't realise was going to happen. What's the best way of doing that?
We've got the website, so www.rubysfund.co.uk. If you go through the email contact there, that comes to me. You can do a self-referral there, so you can do it as a professional. If it's a professional, like a health visitor or a teacher, you can refer on behalf of somebody, or you can do it as the parent carer or a grandparent. Social media, we're on Twitter, we're on Facebook, we're on Instagram. So there's lots of different ways that you can contact us, and I monitor all of them. So it all comes through to me. So those are the best ways. Or you could just pick up the phone.
It's like old-fashioned now, isn't it?
The old-fashioned ways, pick up the phone.